Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In our introit for today, by which the Sunday is named, Invocavit, coming from our introit, the text is Psalm 91. Now, Psalm 91 was a text that I used back in March when I had been interviewed for a podcast. And I recounted in Psalm 91 how the Lord is our deliverance. How in the middle of March, there were so many things that we didn't know. There was so much information out there. And yet I said, no matter what, we look to God's Word. And so the words from Psalm 91 are still important for us today. It is a call and response between God and His people. God says, when He calls to me, I will answer Him. I will rescue Him and honor Him. With long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. How do we number what long life is? Is it 100 years? Is it 60 or 40? What is a long life in comparison to eternity? God is the one who numbers each and every one of our days. So while we might believe that someone's life is cut short, it is exactly what God has intended for them. God numbers the days. And when they are completed according to His purpose, He calls that name to Himself. Long life doesn't mean many years on this earth. But those who call upon the name of the Lord when they are in the throes of death will have eternal life. A life that will never be cut short. A life that is without end. That is our trust as Christians. The psalm goes on, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." You are dwelling in the shelter of the Most High. Oftentimes the Lord is referred to as a type of mother hen that guards her chicks under her wings. The Lord outstretches His arms, gathers His chicks to Himself, and protects them. This is the dwelling place of the Lord. This is our refuge. It goes on, "Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent." Plagues are pretty big words for us today. But the truth is that plague, even if it can take your body here, faith in Jesus Christ means that it cannot take your soul. Faith in Jesus Christ protects you from plague and pestilence, from war and famine, not necessarily in this life, but in the one that is to come. And that life is without end. That is our sure and certain hope. No matter what the world can throw at us, no matter what plague or disease we might catch, as long as we have faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, as long as we are living a life in that faith, eternity is ours. This part of the psalm continues and it completes with, "You will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot." This is important, and I'm going to come back to it once we get into the rest of our texts. The power and authority that Jesus Christ has, and the gift that He gives to us. In our epistle lesson, St. Paul says that he pleads with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? That means, am I a Christian because I was baptized once long, long ago, but then I never stepped foot in a church again? I never opened up God's Word. I never prayed to Him. Or does it mean that I am to receive the grace of God and then live out a life in Him? Am I to strive to live according to God's will and commands for my life? Or should I live as if I matter most? Should I cower in fear away from the place that God has given me to dwell securely, to receive His gifts? Or should I be found in church week after week, hearing His grace, receiving His grace upon my tongue and in my heart? What is the proper time to do this? St. Paul says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you have been holding off from coming to church out of fear, out of concern, or whatever it might be, now is the time to return. Lent is a perfect time to return to the cross, to return to the Lord, to return to the Lord's house, to be built up for a world that is treacherous, a world filled with plague and pestilence, a world filled with lies and condemnation. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Return now. In our Old Testament lesson, the devil, the tempter, comes to our first parents. He comes to tempt Eve. Now, when I was reading this story last night with my kids, I made sure to make the devil sound extremely whiny. In fact, I had Zoe plug my nose to make him sound even whinier. And while I didn't do that for you today, I didn't feel it was proper, I did try to make him sound a little bit whinier than normal when I speak. And the reason for that is because the devil hates to be mocked. But mock him, we will. The devil actually hates the fact that you are sitting here today, that you are listening to God's word, that you are living out your Christian faith. The devil hates that. He hated that God created man in His own image. He hated man so much that He wanted him to fall and be corrupted as the devil corrupted himself. And so Satan, the tempter, the father of lies, goes to Eve and he says, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? You know His command. That wasn't His command. His command was one specific tree that they cannot eat. But that's exactly what the devil does. He goes to Eve and he whispers and he creates doubt in her mind of what God has actually said. And I know that the devil does the same for you because he does the same to me. Did God actually say you should remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy? Did God actually say, this is my body, this is my blood, receive it for the forgiveness of your sins? Did God actually say that baptism can work the forgiveness of sins and that even infants need that precious gift? Did God indeed say these things? And so he takes God's word and he twists it, as he always does. And so Eve responds, and she partly fails already, because she adds to God's word. She says, we can eat of any tree except for the one that is in the midst of the garden. God has told us we can't eat of it, neither shall we touch it lest we die. And the devil says, you'll not die. Don't believe that. God just doesn't want you to be like Him. Be a God yourself. Know what God doesn't want you to know. You won't die. Who should we listen to? The father of lies or the gospel truth? Jesus Christ. And yet she listens to the devil. She gives some to her husband who is with her. He eats, and because of that, all mankind falls. Now each and every one of us was conceived in sin. Now we all face the wages of that sin, death. Eve and Adam failed to follow God. They were tempted by the devil and he took them over. And they'll notice that the phrase, "the devil made me do it," doesn't get them out of any repercussions. Instead, what happens is God goes to Adam. He says, "What have you done?" Adam says, "It's the woman. And it's the woman that you gave to be with me." And so God goes to the woman. He says, "What have you done?" And he said, "It's the serpent. He deceived me and I ate." And he condemns the serpent. And then he condemns the woman. And then he condemns Adam. Flesh now dies because of failure to trust in God's word. But where there was failure in the first Adam, there is complete and utter faithfulness in the second Adam. The new man, Christ. Christ who took on our human flesh to suffer and die in our place. That new Adam, Jesus Christ, fulfilled all of God's word. Being the word incarnate, he responds to the devil. The devil comes and he tempts him. For 40 days, Jesus fasts. He goes without food for 40 days. The season of Lent is a time of preparation. It is a time of fasting. We talked about this on Wednesday for Ash Wednesday. During Lent, we fast. And when we fast, we have more time. And in that more time, we have more time for prayer. When we fast, we have more money. And when we have more money, we give alms, we give more to the poor. Jesus doesn't say, "if you do these things," in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "when you do these things." And so we follow his example. I'm not recommending that you fast for 40 days and 40 nights for that whole time. You can't do it. I can't do it. Christ is better than we are. But fasting is good spiritual and bodily training for us. It teaches us what Jesus talks about in our gospel lesson. The tempter comes to Jesus and he says, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." See, Jesus is the word by which everything was made. Surely all he would have to say to the stones is, "be bread," and they would be bread. But Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." More important than the bread that we eat is the word of God. If we neglect the word of God day after day, we are much worse off than if we do not eat. So the devil tries again. The devil then takes him to Jerusalem. He takes him to the top of the temple and he says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down." And then the devil quotes the word of God. He quotes the scriptures. He says, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." The devil knows God's word, and he will twist it in your ears. So the only way that we can overcome the devil in this is by having the word of God living and active in our hearts. That when the devil attacks us and even twists God's word, we are prepared to give a defense. Early on, when I talked to many of you back in March and April, I talked about the fact that we should, as Christians, not live recklessly. That I wouldn't recommend, and I wouldn't personally, jump out of a plane without a parachute and expect that God would simply save me from that. But I said, even though we don't live recklessly, even though we don't put the Lord to the test, coming to church, receiving the sacrament, is never putting the Lord to the test unless we are living in unrepentant sin. If you fear for your life, this is where you should be. And if you are ready to die, this is where you should be, trusting the Lord. Jesus responds to Satan. He says, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Lastly, the devil tries one more time. He takes him to the highest mountain. He shows him the whole world. And he says, I will give it all to you if you fall down and worship me. The authority for kingship over the whole world is not the devil's to give. And yet that's how he tempts him. That's how he tempts us. He promises to give you things that are not his to give. God's gifts twisted. And so when the devil attacks you, follow Jesus. Finally, here he says, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Jesus, the King of Kings, has full authority over the earth. The devil twists that, and he tries to make us follow him. When he attacks, when he whispers in your ear and tempts you, trying to get you not to come to church, trying to get you not to open your scriptures at home, tries to get you not to pray, saying you don't have the time, follow Jesus' example. Away with you, Satan. I laugh and mock you, for I have been purchased and won by Jesus Christ. There is nothing you can do to me. And the words from Psalm 91 remind us. The psalmist writes, you will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. The serpent from our Old Testament lesson. St. Peter writes that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. Jesus has conquered the serpent. He has conquered that lion. And now, in Christ, we can do the same. The young lion and the serpent, he has trampled underfoot by his death on the cross and by his resurrection on the third day, that all who believe in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. And so the church sings, but Christ, the second Adam, came to bear our sin and woe and shame, to be our life, our light, our way, our only hope, our only stay. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.